Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Create a professional website all by yourself. Yes, you can do it. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off. Wix.com/podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what should have been a peaceful new home turns into a nightmare that a family tries to escape. Unexplained banging and threats from behind a woman's bedroom door causes extreme terror. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the program, do keep us on the air. Sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP, over at our website at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you once again. And sitting right behind me is the person who was the victim of Bob Barker's advice of get your pet spayed or neutered. And Sting's sitting in here, and he's just looking at me with this look of shock, disappointment, and horror all at once. It's kind of like Eddie on Frasier, but he's a golden retriever. So,
what is missing, Dad?
Yeah, he's like, something's different here. What's going on?
But I'm lighter. I'm...
He's been pretty good about it. He's only sworn at me in dog language a few times and gives me those looks a little bit. And, I only caught him trying to sneak into the kitchen to get a big knife one time last night as he was going down the hall with it in his paws. And I don't know how he did it because he doesn't have a thumb, but he held it in his paw and he was coming towards the bedroom. And I caught him. I said, "That's not funny." And he just kind of wagged his tail, laughed, dropped the knife, and went back to his cage. So
those Goldens—they're notorious for grabbing those machetes post-neuterizations.
It's something the vet warned me about. They're like, when you get him home, you might, pet need to put that cone on his head so he doesn't lick you down there. And look out the middle of the night. He may try and murder you and your family. It's like, oh, that happens with those Goldens,
Oh, memories. I tell you what, though, animal lovers uniting right now and are giving you a high five through their phones or however they're consuming the show. Because I tell you what, man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because what's interesting and living in the part of the country I do, and we're in the somewhat similar part of the country, mm-hmm. is folks are so curious what. Why did my dog break my fence? Why did my dog try so hard to get... Hello! They don't possess the ability in their brain to say, well, that is a beautiful-looking golden doodle. I can't partake in Monopoly with her. They don't have that. So,
are you saying all dogs are rapists? Is that what you're getting at?
It's interesting. In the early works of the production of All Dogs Go to Heaven, there was a different title pitched at the table read. And,
it's like
Walt Disney Company was like, maybe not.
Not going to fly. It's going to be really difficult to explain to the kids as to what the title is. But now, obviously they have the instinct that they can't control. So.
Yeah. Not to get all Sarah McLachlan on you as the music is playing in the shelters, but dogs, cats, animals are great. But here's the thing: the one thing we can control is the amount of them. And as great as puppies are, there's like 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old dogs at shelters because people move or there's legitimate reasons that can't keep them. And if there can only be like 20 puppies opposed to 200, you have done a service, fine sir. So well done.
Well, there we go. I think we should play a little Sarah McLachlan just for the hell of it. It's like,
I will remember you.
I'm surprised they didn't do a different one, like Sweet Surrender or something. That would have been like really inappropriate, but weird. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, back when I was maybe 10 years old, my mom went into yet another house. We moved what seemed like once a year at that point, but my mother was raising the three of us by herself, and looking back, I understand that she was always trying to get us somewhere better and safer. She ended up leasing a house in a rather nice neighborhood. Snobby, if you will, but there were lots of kids, so I wasn't worried. But then we moved in. I've always been sensitive to mysterious things, so right off the bat, I felt weird. Not negative necessarily, but not positive either. I was never one to be afraid of the dark, but in this house, if I was turning the light off at bedtime, I would psych myself up at the switch like it was a race and would run to my bed and stay under the covers. It always felt like there was someone in the doorway, even though I couldn't see anything. There was a large basement in this house, fully finished too, but none of us would set foot down there. It was fairly bright since it was an open concept, but you'd have to throw us down the stairs to make us go. We were terrified. One of the few days we played down there, we both saw an opaque white shadow of a person walk in front of the fireplace and then disappear. The house is from the 70s, but for some bizarre reason, the door to the laundry room in that basement was like an old shack or barn door. Looked like something you'd find at an antique market now from the 1800s. Anyway, my mom, who fears nothing, refused to go down into that basement unless it was to do laundry, and even then she said she saw the door closed when she was alone in the house. The way the door sat, it dragged on the carpet, so to open or close it, you had to make it happen physically. Couldn't have closed with a breeze. She didn't tell us this until years later. There'd be days that I'd be home after school alone, and I'd often do homework in the dining room. The bedroom was at the end of the hall across from my mom's, but I always felt weird down there, so I avoided being in there apart from bedtime. I remember I'd be doing homework and I would hear loud footsteps coming from down the hall to my room in the dining room, and holding my breath thinking it was an intruder. I'd peek around the corner and of course there was nothing there. This happened multiple times a week, and eventually I just started playing my mom's stereo to drown out what I was hearing. The scariest thing that happened to me there, I still remember 25 years later. My mom and siblings were going out for a bit and I was staying home to have a bath. There are two doors to the bathroom, two for some weird reason. One is in the hallway where the bedrooms are, and the other opened next into the front door. Weird. It becomes important though. Anyways, I'm just washing up when I hear what sounds like someone collapse on the other side of the wall, which is my mom's room. Like it's really loud. It wasn't the house settling, it was someone big falling onto hardwood floors. I went numb. I thought maybe someone broke in. I know the hallway bathroom door is locked, but now I have to silently get out and make sure the other stupid door is locked. I don't hear any footsteps anywhere. Not even hearing breathing. I'm trying to listen. I silently wait, freezing, until my mom gets home, in what seems like hours later. I told her what happened, but she shrugged it off, said something must have fallen down. Bull. My brother would sleepwalk like crazy in that house too, and would go down into the basement during his sleepwalking episodes. He has no memories, but he did talk a lot of nonsense during these episodes. We moved out at the end of the school year, and I don't think any of us were sad to see that place go. The street view of the house online is virtually the same as it was all those years ago, except the wood portion in the front was painted to a medium brown color. Years later, like when I was maybe 30, my mom told me that right before we moved in, the previous owner or tenant had died in her bedroom. That'd explain a lot. That's why we got the house for such a good deal. It was a death house. I think what I heard while in the bath was him collapsing. It had been a heart attack, according to my mom, and essentially dying. Perhaps that day was the anniversary or something. I'll never know. I've been in multiple haunted houses since, but I've never been as creeped out as I was living in that house. My six-year-old sees her stepmom's pet's cat's spirits every night, apparently. I'm glad she's getting more of a positive sense versus the scary ones that I seem to have gotten in that home. There you go. Creepy old haunted house where you get to relive the former owner's death on a regular basis.
Seems so like, am I listening correctly that she... They were just told that the person died before they moved in, after they already moved out? Or that was something that mom told them upon moving in?
The mom found it out from whoever was selling the house, found it out right at the beginning, but never really, you know, divulged that information to the children.
Thank you, mother.
So, would you rather have known that? I mean, if you're having all those freaky things happen in your house, would you rather have mom say, oh, that's no big deal, the last donor died right here?
You make a valid point, I think it depends upon what age I'm at. If I'm 8, 9, 10 years old, absolutely not.
I think some kids could handle it. Some others, some could not.
I would agree with that statement. But as far as the end of the story, they're hearing about how somebody had passed away. That absolutely is recreating how they died in their home, and this person was there to hear it.
Creepy stuff. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. The phone number you can call 24/7 to share your story with us. Another story, it says, this is very creepy. I love your podcast. Just found him on Google Play this week. Listening to this instead of TV. Even as I'm writing this, it happened way back in 2007 on the west coast of Canada in a city called Delta, British Columbia. My mother and I were sort of estranged at the time, but after a threat from an ex-boyfriend, my mom drove to Richmond where I lived and drove me to her place in Delta. I'd never been in her place before, and it was cute, like a bachelor pad almost, but this weird feeling of dread was permeating. I didn't say anything, though. Later on, I was getting ready for bed on the couch, but I was very uneasy. I kept the TV on. It started to remind me of creepy Hopewell House. I had this vision that there was a man sitting in the armchair across from me wearing a green plaid coat. I didn't get any messages. He was just sitting there. So basically, I sat up all night watching Seinfeld reruns. There's no way I was going to sleep. I didn't really say anything. I thought maybe it was just me imagining things. Fast forward to 2015 and I'm visiting my mom in Calgary. We're on her balcony having a beer and we start talking about random things. She starts talking about her old apartment in Delta. She said she had this horrible, horrible nightmare where she was walking down the street and there's this guy just standing in the middle of the road. And he's wearing a green plaid jacket. I go numb at this point, but she continues. She says in her dream she's going to bed, but someone starts banging on the door. She goes to look in the narrow window next to the door and she sees the crazy guy. And he's threatening her, saying if he gets in, he's going to kill her. I confessed to my mom that something insane was going on with that place and told her about what happened that one night I stayed over. We had both envisioned the same guy, and we don't know how it happened or who he was, but certainly glad that we were very far from where this occurred to this day. So what do you make of that? I mean, just the man with the green plaid coat giving an uneasy feeling years ago to the daughter and a much more ominous message to the mom at that same point in time.
I'm going to go with this is the relationship that... or the person that they moved for the reason, I believe that that's him.
I'm just surprised that wasn't brought up into it, though. Of like, and it looked just like the man I was trying to get away from.
I think to the prior story is depending upon the situation, some children can comprehend that, some cannot. And even though they're having a beer on her patio and it's much later in life, I mean, I think sometimes some people are comfortable bringing certain situations up or not.
Mm-hmm. It would be, it's an interesting revelation to make all those years later. And as an adult, it would have been probably more interesting or freaky at the same time had they both corroborated their stories at the time when they actually occurred. That would have been probably a bad thing in terms of comfort, but interesting, as for lack of a better term. Back to our ghost stories in just a moment. First, a little business here. I want to thank our supporter today, Wix. Wix.com/podcast. Go there, get 10% off. This is a place where you can create a professional website all by yourself. The other day I was talking about all the options that you have when it comes to designing your website. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that you can do if you're trying to create a good business website, okay? This is not just a service that is going to a blogger or something of that nature. Literally millions of businesses use Wix to create their websites. Restaurants, design studios, artists, just businesses down the road, whatever it may be. You don't have to be a web expert to use Wix. Their simple, beautiful, intuitive system helps you along the way. Drag, drop. I can't think of an easier system to use. And at the end of the day, it looks beautiful. The only thing is, it sounds kind of funny. I remember using FrontPage back in like the late 90s. It was drag and drop, but at the end of the day, it looked like a 90s FrontPage website. Yeah, that's not how the pages look. But it is, to me, that was an easy editor because it was very visual, and it just, it's like you put it there and it's there and it works. That's the ease of something like that, that virtually doesn't exist in today's world, is what Wix is, and it exists now. You would think this stuff would be out there in other places. It's not. Wix is the place that has all of it. Unlimited fonts, design effects, HD video, grids, layouts, code capabilities, media galleries. They have all these templates you can pull from. It's lovely. I love using it for designing websites. I think you will too. If you want a great impression on whoever is going to go to your website, and let's be honest, first impressions mean one hell of a lot. This is a great way to get a site up and running without all the guesswork. And you can get 10% off when you try it for yourself. Go to wix.com/podcast. That's wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. So I'm a new listener to the podcast, and I absolutely adore it. This is my first story I'm sending in. Hopefully, I get to send in more of them. It's kind of hard to record. I have two little kids running around. But this is the earliest story that I can really pinpoint as being like supernatural. I have stories of things happening to me when I was like a baby, but I don't remember them. This is about elementary school age. I would say probably like first, second grade up to about fifth grade. So, you know, right around in that age frame. Probably, I think it stopped really happening when I was about 10 or 11. But when I was growing up, my parents worked a lot, so I stayed at my grandma's house. And this is where it's all occurred. When my mom was a teenager, her dad died. And so growing up, I didn't really know much about my grandpa. Like, it was very hush hush. They told us, like, the family told us kids, there was three of us, three cousins. They told us that he had gotten sick and had died of the flu. And, like, it was very sad. And, of course, you know, we were all like, you know, okay, that makes sense. That's something that can happen, right? When you're a kid, you don't really think about things too much. So, like I said, I didn't know much about him. There weren't a lot of pictures of him up either. And so, when I started having this dream at my grandma's, it was very surreal. I was, like I said, a little kid, so I can still remember, and it gives me chills. I'm in this white room, white table, white chairs, white floors, like blinding white, almost like hurts your eyes to see. And there's a man sitting across from me, and he's just talking to me. He's talking to me in a way that an adult would talk to a child, and asking, you know, how are you? And how's your grandma? And how's your mom? And how is school? And, you know, what are you doing in your day? And it was like he wanted to get to know me. And I had no idea who he was, but in my dream, I was so comfortable that I just answered his questions. And it really didn't feel like I was dreaming, but when I woke up, I remember the first time this happened, and I woke up and I went to go tell my grandma. And I was like, I just had a dream about a man. And I'm sure she was like, you know, sure, you know, what was your dream about? Like anybody, you know, any parent, any grandparent would do when a child is telling them what they dreamt about. And so I started telling her what was said and what he looked like. And, you know, he had red hair and he had, you know, blue eyes. And, you know, he just wanted to know about my mom, and he wanted to know about you, and he wanted to know about me. And so, you know, she kind of was like, okay. And then she went and got a picture that was up on this high shelf that, you know, was taller than I was, so I never really noticed it. And she said, was this him? And I was like, yeah, who is that? And she said, that's your grandpa. And I was like, oh, you know, okay, that makes sense. That, to me as a little kid, it made sense. I was okay. I knew who it was now. He wasn't, quote unquote, a stranger. And so my grandma was like, she's a very spiritual person, and she just immediately believed me. There was never any like child making things up or anything like that. So she just said, you shouldn't tell your mom because she has a hard time with things like this. So I didn't for many years. I never told my mom that I was having these dreams, that I talked to anybody. I don't think she ever had any inclination that anything weird was happening. But it was every time I stayed the night at my grandma's, I would have one of these dreams. So around age 10 and 11, I stopped going to my grandma's as frequently. So the dreams became less and less frequent. It was about the age where I was in middle school and I lived close to the school. So I was allowed to, you know, walk home from school, and I didn't need to be babysat. And so they only came whenever the random times I would stay. And then by the time I was getting ready to start high school, there was a falling out with my mom and I. And it was many years before I talked to her again. And in that time frame of, you know, me being in high school and me becoming an adult, she had remarried and they had a little girl. So I now have a sister. And when I met my sister, she was very shy and she reminded me a lot of me when I was little. And as we started, you know, spending more time together and my mom and I started reconciling, I think we just started spending so much time together that we just started talking about things. And I told her that, you know, when I was little, I never told you this, but I had dreams about your dad. I had dreams about Grandpa. And she was like, just frozen for a second. And she said, well, what kind of dreams? And I said, nothing, you know, weird, nothing out of the ordinary. Just, you know, he would talk to me as a kid. He wanted to know how you were. He wanted to know how Grandma was. And she started crying. And she said that my little sister, who was 4 at the time, I think, had just told her very recently that she had had a dream about a man talking to her in a white room. And I have so many goosebumps right now. And she said that he asked why I wasn't around, and he would ask her how her mom was and how her grandma was, and it was the same things that he had asked me. And it was so weird because I never told her about those dreams. She, you know, didn't know about them, and my little sister didn't know me and definitely didn't know about them. She was too little to understand, even if I had told her. So just the fact that it's happened to both of us, and it's the same setting, and it's the same sort of dreamlike state where he comes to visit us and just keeps up with us, is just, to me, it validates it. Like, I've lived it. I've seen the dream. And now that I'm an adult, there were times where, even though I've had, you know, things happen to me since then, I still was like, you know, did I make that up? You know, I was a kid. I didn't know him. I don't remember ever seeing a picture of him. So I don't know how I would have known what he looked like. But, you know, was there some way that I could have made this up, or, you know, could have been seeking some sort of attention? And I didn't, because I have validation now that he still talks to my little sister. So that's the story of my grandpa, who was my first real experience. And I think because he's the first experience that I really remember, and I was never afraid of him, it set me up for a lifelong obsession with the supernatural and the paranormal. And I'm not really afraid of it. I kind of enjoy learning and experiencing things that I think a lot of people would normally be turned off by. But like I said, I have a few more stories, so I plan on sending those in, but I'm just really curious to see what you all think. And like I said, I love the podcast and I've been binge listening to it, and I think it's great. And I thank you guys for doing this so we have an outlet to share these stories with. Have a great day.
I think it's a pretty self-explanatory one as far as what was going on there, as far as, you know, the validation that even her sister was having these experiences and still does to this day. He's coming back. It's good they're able to identify who the man is, too. That would just make it a little weird if they're like, and this strange man just kept coming into the room and talking to me.
Nah,
and then suddenly you're like, oh, my God, it better not be, you know, this guy.
Now I'm not trying to be rude.
That would be really weird, you know.
And as I was just going to make this a Hallmark moment, you went there and totally killed it.
Nothing like they're inserting an R. Kelly joke into a touching.
And then the further questions of the white walls and the white floors, was it at a motel? Was it at a hotel? Was it at a Holiday Inn? I just, and you're gonna have to Google R. Kelly lyrics to get that one. But bringing it back to more of a wholesome story.
Yes, yes.
Is what I was getting at before you had Bob Kelly cameo there is the connection of a grandparent and grandchild is so strong. It is so thick. And clearly in this story, it matters not whether you are living or not. And specifically, you look at my dad and my sisters, each have a child, so I have a niece and a nephew. And just seeing that connection, you know, I think it was just grandpa wanting to see how his granddaughters were. Yep. What I think is interesting is, and this is at least for me the first time that I've heard this in a story, is the afterlife has controlled the environment where they visited, mm-hmm. In this case, two different people. So clearly in both having a visitor from what appeared to be grandpa, but how they both, the caller as well as her younger sister, both referenced the same environment of where they saw him.
Which is interesting. It leads to a lot of questions about, like, well, then can the person who's making the visit control this environment? And it seems like it. Like, he has the ability to say, okay, when I show up, this is the setting that we're going to be in. Which is, that's an interesting, you know, facet of this experience.
And I think something that her mom did not reference is where her dad, the girl's grandpa, mm-hmm. where he last was in his life. Was he in a retirement home? Is this white, you know, floors and is this at the retirement home? Is this a location that he mm-hmm. last was when he was still living? And apparently she said that she's going to call back to possibly fill in more details. Yeah. But that is that's interesting. In the not only are they visiting them, but they're controlling the environment of where those thoughts and memories and dreams feel as though they took place.
Yeah, it's a good story. Thank you for calling and sharing that. We would love to hear more. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Drake. I am from Prescott, Arizona. I just found you guys a little bit earlier today, and I've been listening to like 7-8 episodes so far, and I'm loving it. My story, my first ever paranormal experience was when I was a little kid at grandma's house. I remember my grandma was talking to me about how my great grandmother Beverly was and how sweet she was. She's showing me pictures, and a few nights later, I remember I got up late in the night to go to the bathroom, and when I came out and looked down the hallway, I saw her standing there. I didn't know what I saw at the time, and now that I'm older and looking back at it, I know. When I was, my most recent experience was when I was 15, 16 years old. It was our second house moving into Prescott. And I remember there was a couple little things that would happen here and there. Stuff would move, my dogs would bark. And it was just little things. Well, we had a Jack and Jill set up for our house. So you had to go through either my room or my sister's room in order to get to the bathroom. Well, me being the youngest, I get the short end of the stick. I had the cat boxes in my room as well. And I remember, like, hating everything about it. I had to have this little blue star made out of Christmas lights on my wall for people to see to get to the bathroom. I was fast asleep one night, and then I remember having this feeling just deep in my stomach. Something's going on. Something's in my room. And I tried to play it off like, oh, someone's just going to the bathroom, or it's one of the cats. And I remember I opened my eyes, and I look over to my right, and I see two out of the three cats sleeping next to me. And then so I look over to my left, and between my dresser and my closet door, which also used to be the door to the basement, there was a man, a shadow man, standing there. He had bright blue eyes, a bushy beard, and overall. And I remember how terrified I was of this. So I was scared. I didn't know what to do. So I closed my eyes and I looked the other way. And when I looked back, he was gone. Well, that's when everything started to pick up. We had candlesticks flying across the house at my stepdad. We had my dogs barking. Our gas fireplace would just go off at random times. And hi, I'm just going to put this right here. And I sorry, I'm at work. I remember I was asleep in my mom's bed, and I had the gas fireplace going, because that was the only source of heat in the house, very low in the living room, right in front of her room. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I had woken up, and it was on full blast, like flames looked like they were about to shoot out of my fireplace. So I quickly ran over and I turned it off all the way. The whole house was so hot. It felt like Phoenix, Arizona, like midsummer. So at this point, my family was like, well, we're going to have guests over. We need to figure out a place for them to sleep. So they built a makeshift bunk bed in my room. So now my bed is above a couch with a pull-out bed. Now my bed is next to the bathroom door and next to this blue star. Yet again, I woke up with the same feeling that there's someone in my room. And I open my eyes and I look down, and there he is. But this time he's staring up at me, and I could see him swaying. He slowly turned around, walked through the bathroom door. I jumped out of my bed to chase him to see. And when I turned on the light, there was no one there. The next day, my neighbor flagged me down. I'm like, oh, what's up? What's up? She's like, did you say hi to your roommate yet? And I'm like, what roommate? It's just me and my family here. She's like, oh, I thought you would have seen him by now. Blue eyes, big bushy beard, overalls. He used to own this property. He used to own this entire block. He comes and says hi to me from time to time, too. I had never told anybody about this. So the fact that she described it freaked me out. But it was just things kept happening. The doors would open and shut. My sister felt something grab her blanket and pull it off of her. It was just ridiculous. It was crazy. We ended up moving out. I haven't had much going on lately. And if I do, I will definitely call back. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, I don't know if you want the validation or not when you have that sort of a situation. And at one point, it makes you feel not crazy that, you know, you're just not alone seeing these things when the neighbor comes and is like, yeah, I see that person all the time.
And then you can either get validation that you are not going clinically insane, or that both of you are going insane.
Yeah, it's. I almost want to know too. Like, well, why didn't you tell me sooner about this if you knew? I mean, you knew there was.
Thanks, Danielle. You've known this since I moved in. You could have let me know.
Like, she obviously was just waiting for the stories to come up, and then finally she says, "Oh, by the way, yeah." I don't know how I'd feel about that friendship after finding that out. Because,
well, and what's interesting is how she had said that he visits me too, mm-hmm. and she didn't tell her about the sightings.
Yeah.
So what? Not a lot of trust going on there.
Yeah, an odd relationship after that moment, I think. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the program, become an extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of the bonus episodes. And, of course, a free e-copy of the book and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.